Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. So for those of you joining me on Blog Talk Radio, welcome back live. We're live on Blog Talk. And of course, we're also live here on Facebook. So on today's show, and I welcome your comments, we are going to have somewhat of an open line, but there's some targeted conversations that we're going to have. So I want to talk about, and I've heard from many of you who also want to talk about this, the ongoing controversy around the national anthem in the National Football League. And it's really not so much the anthem, it's that players are kneeling. But what has happened since the last time we were together, last week, is that ESPN has decided that has announced that during their Monday night football game broadcast, they are not going to show the anthem. And now other networks are talking about it, considering it. I believe Fox and maybe CBS. I need to look and be sure. I don't want to misquote the networks. We know that this conversation started with what ESPN is doing, about what other folks are doing, okay? So I want to get your thoughts on what's happening. And let me, before we go to that, hello, Lacey. Welcome. Hello, Gabby. It's good to see you guys. Hey, Marcy. There was a time when the networks did not broadcast the national anthem. They have not always done that. So it's not such a departure from the norm. They would record it. They'd go to break, they record it in case something, you know, newsworthy or monumental happened during the anthem, but it was not a part of the broadcast. I believe Fox has said that they will show the anthem on holidays. And so, of course, now the president has decided to, you know, something else for him to sink his teeth into. And of course, these days, we know that he could use a big distraction. So he is asking for people to sign a petition about ESPN's action to not show the anthem. So what do you think? Should they show the anthem? Here's what I say. What I'd like to talk about is, what is the end game, right? What is to happen? Because if we go back to why the protest started, why there was ever kneeling by NFL players, in particular Colin Kaepernick, who lost his livelihood based on his decision to take a knee during the anthem, to make a stand and fight against social injustice, police brutality against Black men and women and young people. That was over. Are we now in the third season of this? That was what this all started about. So there has been attention brought to it. There's conversation about it. And then, of course, when the president got involved, it took it to a whole other level. It's created issues in the National Football League for players, some owners. We know that Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, hello for all of you Cowboy fans, Jerry Jones has said, you know what, not only will my players and people on the coaching staff and in the organization, not only will you stand for the national anthem, but you will have your toe on the line, you will not be in the locker room, blah, 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 right? That has been that's what he said. This is from a man who I believe has been seen on more than one occasion not removing his cap. So some of the hypocrisy is deafening. And the issue just continues and won't go away. We here in the state of Texas, for those of you who are tuning in and watching and listening for other parts of the country, have a Senate candidate who has been addressing it. And I think has handled the issue and spoken about it really eloquently and passionately, and it makes a lot of sense. And he's talked about how it's not, kneeling for the anthem is not some sense of not being patriotic or disrespecting men and women from the armed forces, many of whom have weighed in and said, you know what, this is why we go to war. We fight for the right to be able to kneel and take a knee. But what the Senate candidate, Beto, is who I'm talking about, he's running against Ted Cruz here in Texas. What he has said is, even if you have a different opinion, I think it's okay. He thinks it's he understands it. It's a peaceful protest. He supports it. He He said, but even if you think differently from me, that doesn't make you unpatriotic either. We should be able to have different points of view and it not be so contentious. I appreciate that because we do often have different points of view. And at some point, we have got to get to a place to where I can express my different opinion from you and it not become one of us has to be right and one of us has to be wrong. I mean, I have said on more than one occasion, I understand the anthem protest, the kneeling during the anthem, because it's not a protest of the anthem. It is a protest of social injustice and police brutality. The anthem is just a platform that was used to bring attention to it. So let's be clear about what those actions are. So I do. I it's peaceful protest, and I support it. It's a part of the First Amendment rights. As those of us here in the United States have. And so I support it. But if you do not, I should not attack you. I mean, we have to find a way that we can communicate with some sense of civility and not let these issues continue to be so incredibly divisive. It is divisive because it's been hijacked and turned into something else. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. And let me ask you, what do you think about the networks deciding, or ESPN in particular, that during Monday Night Football, we're just not going to show the anthem? And I mentioned at the start of the broadcast that there were times before that before we paid this much attention to the anthem because of what's happening, what happened with Colin Kaepernick and him taking a knee 3 seasons ago. I don't know how many people really paid attention to whether the anthem, the national anthem was broadcast on nationally televised football games. It wasn't always. It hasn't always been. So that's something to really, that's something that really needs to, there's another light. I didn't know. Turn that off. Anyway, that's something, I guess I could turn it back on. That's something that hasn't always been the case, right? So that's something to consider. Thank you very much. Lacey says the problem with America is that not enough people have different points of view, so many following the herd and not thinking for themselves. Thank you for that, Lacey. That's a great point. It is okay to not agree and think the same thing that everyone else thinks, right? So I have one of my keynotes that I'm actually doing a couple times next month. It's called Can You Hear Me Now? Talking to People Who Don't Think Like You, right? We have to be able to talk to people who don't think like us. And it is not always about trying to make you see and agree with my point of view. I should be able to say to you, I love my family. I love my mother. I love my family more than anything, right? I don't always agree with everything that they do or say. It doesn't mean that now we are at odds and now there's this love loss. We just don't always agree. And that is okay. I don't always think like them. I mean, even when it comes down to what we eat, we don't eat the same thing. I mean, we're really different in a lot of ways, but at the core of it, it doesn't change our relationship and who we are. And I use my family because it doesn't get any more personal than that, right? I could say I have friends that I don't always agree with, which is also the case. So you should definitely be able to have coworkers and strangers that you don't agree with, that you don't have to become at odds and have these very contentious moments with. So thank you for that comment, Lacey. I appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in, Lacey, all the way from Atlanta. So one of the things I'm going to say to you all is, as always, right, so we talk about sports here, we talk about all sorts of things, but one of the things I'm going to remind everybody is that if you are not registered to vote, you need to get registered. You need to get registered to vote, and you need to be informed about who you vote for. It is not for me to tell you on this platform how you should vote, but I am going to say you need to vote. And I've heard from many people in the state of Texas who say, it doesn't matter because Texas is a red state. If I don't vote for the red candidate, my vote doesn't count. I'm saying to you today, wherever you live, you need to be registered and you need to vote. And whoever you support, even if your candidate does not win, it's important that you have that you make a case and people know that there are different opinions. if there's only one side ever being heard because the rest of the people are sitting at home not voting because they think their vote doesn't count, then there's no real incentive, if you will, for politicians and leaders to consider differing points of view, okay? Eunice makes a great comment. I think social media turns topics into you versus me. You're absolutely right. Social media, while there are a lot of good things about it, it has connected many people. We were able to connect with people all over the world. It does often make it about me versus you. Like, I have to be right, you have to be wrong. And that is not, that's neither productive, nor is it healthy for a society. We have to be able to coexist and communicate with people who don't think like us. That is so important. But here's a question I ask, and I've asked many people who have who support the taking a knee and people who are against taking a knee. What is the end game, right? What should happen, right? So this started with taking a knee to bring awareness to these social issues and police brutality. One of the things I think we have seen, I have noticed from just in from covering sports, that while a lot of professional players already, you know, were being engaged and giving in their communities and supporting causes, it seems like that activity is growing, that there are more players who are being engaged, being involved, supporting different organizations, you know, in their communities, whether they're social issues or just support, you know, going back to school, supporting kids who stutter, different causes, anti-bullying, you name it, it's happening. And I think that's great. I think athletes should get more credit for that. Whatever your platform is, when you use it to do something positive and help other people, I'm with that, right? I'm all about it. So, but I also think that there has to be a strategy. There has to be a strategy. And what's interesting is I'm going to bring in, you know, some TV. I'm a Queen Sugar fan. I love that show that I watch. Comes on OWN. It is directed by an amazing woman, Ava DuVernay. And she also, I love the cinematology. And I also really enjoy the storytelling. But there's a storyline in this show where the sister, who's a journalist, is very active and very community driven, and her nephew, who's finding his way in this new space, has been kind of struggling with how to be who he is. Like, he came from LA in a very elite society. It was very diverse. And now he's in a plantation area in Louisiana, and it is not diverse. And the, you know, racism is clear and obvious, and it's been an adjustment for him. And so while I'm paraphrasing like three or four seasons of the show. My point is this, you know, she talked about it's not just wanting to stand up for a cause. You have to have a strategy, and that is my point. What is the strategy moving forward? What should happen as it relates to NFL players taking a knee? And this spring, the National Football League came out with some ridiculous new policy. And I say ridiculous because it wasn't well thought out, nor did they do it in conjunction with the Players Association. Because there's something called the collective bargaining agreement. You don't get to just change policies without it going through the CBA, short for collective bargaining agreement. So now the NFL has said, okay, we pull this off the table until we can come up with something that works with the players. We can have some sort of agreement that we can run through the Players Association and make it an amendment or part of a collective bargaining agreement. So there is no real policy right now about what happens from the National Football League as it relates to players not standing or being on the field during the anthem. Now, there are teams with rules, like I mentioned Jerry Jones, but I think that the National Football League, who of course bungled this from the beginning by not addressing it, not inviting Colin Kaepernick in, and instead of ostracizing him, saying, okay, listen, what can we do? How do we move forward past this? Okay. So they didn't do a good job of it. But the National Football League has bungled many issues, whether it's been domestic violence, whether it's, I mean, you name it, they have not handled it very well. And this is just the latest, another one in that chain. But I do think the players need some sort of an end game, some sort of a strategy for what they want to see happen. And I know that last year the National Football League came out with this amount of money that they're giving to certain organizations. It's a drop in the bucket, right? It is who determines who gets the money, who determines whether that the money goes to these different causes. I just think it was a little bit of a Band-Aid. And, you know, why can't there be some bigger, there needs to be a real conversation. But in order to have that, the National Football League has to bring people to the table who are qualified to have that conversation and make suggestions and give input. And I know that there's now this collusion suit that Colin Kaepernick has brought against the National Football League. And so the league is certainly not interested in bringing him into their fold, but that's a mistake. I think they've missed the mark on that all along. And instead of making Colin Kaepernick the enemy, they should engage Colin Kaepernick and perhaps have him be a part of the solution. That's just what I think. I'd love to know what you all think. There have been so many things happening off the field and off the porch, right? So we have this ongoing anthem issue. And for those of you in the Houston area, I am going to be on the Isaiah Carey show on Fox 26 tonight, talking about this. And also, I believe we're going to talk about concussions. The NFL has a new helmet rule that is not, it's not going over very well. You know, players are complaining about this new helmet rule. It's all, you know, and the goal from the National Football League is to make it safer, right? It's to make it safer. They've been hit big about with concussions. And so that's their point. We're doing this because it is a way to improve or protect our players. And and the NFL, like they often do, has said this is a rule. Let me tell you what the rule is if you don't know. So the new rule is against a player lowering the helmet to initiate contact, right? So it's real, that's really kind of broad. You know, you can't lower your helmet to make contact. It's real broad. And so the league, on one hand, refuses to change it. Meanwhile, the league has changed it, right? So Troy Vincent is the VP, NFL Executive VP of Operations. And so he's the one that had to kind of put his name on it. So here's the rule as it passed in March. It is a foul penalty if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. Okay. 8 days ago, I suggested this addition to the rule. Incidental contact by the player's helmet with an opponent will not be considered a foul. So incidental contact or any contact. I mean, it's a little vague. It is kind of all encompassing. So, you know, players have come out and said, what, you know, it's too broad and it covers, it's too big and it can be super, super subjective. So the league adopted some language without actually adopting it because they can't really adopt it without, you know, of course, creating the impression that what they did in March wasn't the right thing. Because the National Football League is notorious for not really being willing to own some of their issues, right? To say, we didn't handle that the best. And you know what? It's not just the National Football League. I have worked with clients who struggle to own something that they do or say, because if we own it, then it's like we're wrong. No, if you own it, you're a professional, you're a grown up, and you're saying, you know what? This wasn't the best approach. We own that. Here's what we've come up with that we think is better, serves everybody better. I wish that people could grasp that. It doesn't, It's not like you're admitting guilt or fault. You're just saying, you know what? We have revisited this. We have looked at it differently. And what we know is, what we now believe is, yeah, we could have handled this a whole lot differently. So back to this helmet issue. So now they've said, this is Troy Benson, who, of course, is has to take the, he's the VP of football operations, so it kind of falls under him. So the committee also determined that inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet and or face mask is not a foul. That's what he says now, which necessarily means that the rule that makes no allowance for incidental contact has been changed. Without just saying it has been changed. So the broader question now becomes whether other non-change changes have been made. You know, this issue of we're not really changing something, we're just going to say this now, makes it really difficult, I think, for players to grasp and adjust it. And, you know, what you have to do when they're talking about, when they're in practice and when they're going through training camp, you know, they have to be able to really fully explain this to the teams so that as they go through practice, they can say, nope, that would have been a foul. Oh, no, we can't do this. That would have been a foul. It needs to be this way. How do you coach players to be prepared and ready for game day if the rule kind of keeps changing, if you're not really sure, is it inadvertent, how subjective is it, what is the rule, and are we making any changes to it? So those are some of the challenges happening around the National Football League. So as always, there's a lot to talk about with the National Football League, and we haven't even talked yet about what's happening on the field in terms of preseason. Let's talk a little bit about something else happening. You know, we know that it is football season. We talk a lot about the National Football League, but college football is also really a big deal. It's a big, big business. And there has been a story happening at The Ohio State University where the head coach was placed on leave with pay while they investigated the story brewing around the Buckeyes football program. There was an assistant coach who was fired recently because it was brought to the attention of the institution that this coach had some domestic violence claims against him. Files, you know, his wife, Courtney Smith, had complained about domestic violence and abuse, had pictures, and anyway, that Urban Meyer is the head coach of Ohio State. And initially, his response when asked about this on Media Day a few weeks ago was not just that he didn't know about it, but how dare you ask about it? You know, and who's, you know, who? How dare you ask about it? Let me put a pin in it right there. Folks, that's called control. And that is control. Good morning, Brian. Welcome, welcome, Big Sarge. That is called control. And what happens around, especially college football, and it's even happening much more now on the national football level, but many big colleges are in small towns, right? The university is it. But sports program is what everybody in those towns gravitate to and go to. Good morning, Brother Abdul. It's great to have you. I almost called you last night. Welcome. I'd love to know your thoughts about ESPN not airing the anthem. But back to Urban Meyer. So Urban Meyer has, the university has done the investigation, and now they've suspended him for 3 games. So either you knew about the abuse and you decided not to deal with it, or you didn't. But in this era of people not being willing to just tell the truth, and entities not being willing to say, you can't do this because this breaks everything that we say is important, imagine if a player had behaved in a way that was so unacceptable. Would he just get suspended for a few games? I don't know, maybe because it's college football and it's about money, right? Let's be clear that it's all this sports stuff, at the end of the day, it is about money. And so the Ohio State makes a lot of money because of its football program. And just the fact that even when Urban Meyer came back, he was not even willing to mention the lady's name, Courtney Smith, And for those who say the alleged abuse, I mean, we, you know, you've seen the pictures. You saw the text messages with her and Urban Meyer's wife. I mean, it's just been what it boils down to is winning at all costs, right? People want to win at all costs. And so domestic violence is bad as long as it's not going to affect our football program. And we have this coach who we won a national championship with him. And although he has a checkered past when it comes to managing a program and having not just having mayhem in his program, because he's had that. He had it when he was in Florida. So this isn't new for Urban Meyer. But three games, and then he can come back, and we can go about football as usual. Let me tell you guys something. If we can't start calling things what they are, speaking truth to power, not accepting anything because it's for the good of the game or it's going to affect your football team or your baseball team or your basketball team, that's a problem. People have to matter more than that. And so where do you stand? Where do you fall in this equation? What are your thoughts about it? You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, Kim, everybody should, you know, there should be due process and investigations. I get all that. But when things are clear and you didn't handle it, take responsibility, let me go back and say something. When Urban Meyer was given this great contract at the Ohio State University, there was a clause in it based on some activity that happened when he was coaching in Florida, because he had so many players who had been arrested, and there were a lot of things that happened on his watch. And so a part of his contract basically said, you know, he needed to be, you know, I'm paraphrasing without having the actual contract in front of me. He needed to be, he would be held responsible if things went awry. And let me try to find the actual language so I don't misquote it, okay? So is that just as it relates to players, or is it, let me see this. I'm going to pull up the Urban Meyer, what they said. So investigators who were working on behalf of Ohio State said Wednesday that they believe, this is what the investigators said, Urban Meyer did not deliberately lie up to the public when discussing his knowledge about the former assistant coach's past issue, right? Zach Smith is the coach's name who's been fired. So he didn't deliberately lie. I don't really know how that works. I don't know how you not deliberately. Either you lie or you didn't lie. So he didn't deliberately lie. Okay. However, they in this 23-page written summary that they released to the university on Wednesday night, they showed that they had reasons to doubt that the coach was being completely forthcoming during their investigation. The investigators said they believed that Meyer and his wife, Shelley, communicated in some way about concerns that Courtney Smith is the ex-wife of Zach Smith, that was raised to Shelley Meyer, that's the head coach's wife, in text messages back in 2015. Meyer told investigators during interviews this month and told reporters on Wednesday night that he had no knowledge of those messages. So I'm not married. Okay, I know all kinds of different kind of things can happen. So now he didn't have any knowledge about the text message between his wife and the assistant coach's wife. One of the messages that we've seen from Courtney Smith and Shelley Meyer. Courtney Smith is the wife of the coach, the former coach who has filed these charges and claims, and Shelley is the wife of the head coach. Shelley said, you know, I'm going to have to tell Urban about this. That was in one of the text messages. So now we hear she never has. Brother Abdul says, we've become a society of perverse morals and incentives. How does sports become more valuable as a teaching profession or being a first responder? It's the money. You're absolutely right. So a society of perverse morals and incentives. You know, it is... You know what they say, Brother Abdul, you always follow the money, right? too much money at stake to come clean. It always, if you follow the money, you can usually find the answers to why something happened and what's happening. So when people talk about, well, Kim, why do you, I mean, I really like sports. I like the X's and O's. I like the fact that it oftentimes brings us together, although these days in some cases it's not. But that has, that's been the history of sports. It's one of those times that, you know, you get to talk to people and, you know, I'm talking to you about, you know, this player versus that player, or this player versus that, and my team versus your team, before I know any of the things about you that make us different, so to speak. And that was the beauty, one of the beauties of it. But a lot of that, part of like one of the things that Eunice said earlier, social media turns topics into you versus me, because if I now have this opinion, you feel like you've got to attack my opinion. But it comes down to sports is such big money. It is big business, right? We see things happening in sports. We see some of those very same things happening in our politics. We see some of those same things happening in the White House. The domestic violence, we saw someone who, you know, the Rob Portman issue. I mean, we've seen all of these things play out in our corporate community, in our political communities. And so sports really is a microcosm of society. So when you're thinking about where your child should go to school, and with, you know, if they're going to be an athlete, you better think about more than just the X's and O's, because this is all encompassing. And as that young man and woman continues to grow, what are the examples that he or she are faced with? Have to, you know, they're going to spend more time with your child than perhaps you are. So, well, clearly than you are when they go off to college, but even when you're, when they're in high school, I mean, your kids are away from home. They're with their peers much more than they're with their families. So the people that they are around all that time, it really matters who they are, how they're wired, how they think, and what they do. So, you know, I just encourage people, you know, parents, you know, the communities, to think about, we've got to think about so much more now when we think about where our kids go to school. We have to think about what kind of foundation are they going to get? What will they be exposed to more times than not? What kind of support will they have as they discover who they are and what kind of man or woman they want to be? Is this the right place? And we have to redefine what a good school is. Right? We have to redefine that. We need to revisit what good school means. And those are going to be, you know, I can't tell you what that means to you and your family, but those are, I'm just encouraging you to think about good school in a very different way, because it shapes our young people in so many ways. So, you know, when you send them off to college, they're going to, you know, help these universities make a lot of money when they go to these big Division I schools. I'm not saying that's bad. Just be clear about it and make sure that's the university that you want your young person, your son or daughter, niece or nephew, or, you know, godchild or whatever person that you have some influence over, to go and basically grow up and become a part of. Do you want that university, that college, that institution's, you know, mindset, way of doing business, way of operating, way of handling people? And we talked last week with David Steele of the Sporting News about what happened at the University of Maryland, where a young man lost his life because this mindset that as a football player, you're tough and you have to go more and you got to do more, and it, to the point of sacrificing, jeopardizing his not just his well-being, but his life. So is that, it's a Division I school. It was probably considered a good school, University of Maryland, a very good university if you go there and you get this scholarship and you get to play and study. You never think that you're going to get a call that your son or daughter didn't survive because of how he or she was treated on the practice field and not cared for accordingly. I think some of those things need to be beyond just fireable offenses, but maybe even in some cases almost criminal, right? So we've got to look at everything these days. And we have to look at our sports the same way. Yes, sports is entertainment, but it's not entertainment at all costs. And, you know, Brother Muhammad says, like ancient Rome, today's sports industrial complex is the equivalent of yesterday's bread and serpents. My name is Gladiator. Wow. You know, that's a great point. You know, it is today's sports industrial complex, yesterday's bread and circus. I could not have said that any better myself. I love the fact that I have such smart listeners. David Fuller, Dr. Fuller, welcome, welcome. Thank you for stopping by. It's all so good to hear from you. An educator, Dr. Fuller, I'd love to know your thoughts about some of the things happening as it relates to sports and school. And let's not even talk about the fact. I mean, I know we talk sports here and we will, but when I saw Dr. Fuller, I have to just say this latest thing with the Secretary of Education thinking that, you know what, we should have guns in schools for teachers. They can't, you know, we don't have money for extra school supplies and books and things of that nature, but let's get the teachers guns. You guys, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. Eunice says, when it comes to a good school and sports, coaches can be the decision breaker, especially when the kids' choices are limited. You're right. Get to know those coaches. Find out where they came from. Find out their background, what's their family structure. I'm not talking about judging them, but know them. Not just what they tell you when they come into your home. And, you know, I'm going to help your kid get to the next level. Really be clear about what they are. And I'm not saying the coaches should not have ever made mistakes, okay? I'm not suggesting that. But who are they today? What are the standards by which they run their program? What are things that players, perhaps, who played in these programs prior to your child getting there, what do those players say? What do those players say about these coaches? What has been the experience? And what have the players gone on to do? Don't just look at how many players have gone on to make it to professional ranks. Because let's be clear about something. Most players won't get to the pros, right? The numbers haven't really changed. I believe the number is less than 3% of players who compete on a collegiate level get to the next level and play professionally. And less than half of those make it for longer than, you know, 3 or 4 years. And the number may be different. But 3%, less than 3%, is not a very good number, right? So you need to be really clear about what all your child is getting at the university beyond just sports. I'm not saying your child isn't super talented and that you should believe in him or her that they can go on and play professionally. I'm just saying, where's that dose of reality? Brother Muhammad says, how much do they pay head football coaches versus tenured professors? Sports is bigger business than research at D1 schools. You're absolutely right. It is bigger than research, and coaches are making more money than university presidents in most cases, in many cases, at D1 schools. You know, if you talk about a coach, I went to Texas A&M. That's my alma mater. That's where I graduated from. And they've hired a coach that is making, what, $7 million a year? $7 million a year? So we have coaches making a lot of money. You don't have tenured professors making anywhere near that kind of money. And like I said, in university presidents, I mean, the president of Texas A&M University is not making $7 million a year, you know. And, of course, we don't want to pay the players anything because they're getting paid by getting a free education. So do you know what it takes to be a college athlete? Especially at a D1 program, do you know the time and commitment that goes into being in one of these big successful programs? It's a lot of time. It's a lot of wear and tear on your body. You can't work and have an outside job. And it makes major money for the universities and the NCAA. So should there be some kind of stipend compensation for players? I don't know the formula and how it will be decided. I say absolutely. There's so much work to do. And so I just like to give you guys things to think about when you're looking, because many of you have kids that will be going to college. And maybe your child's not an athlete, but you might want to know, if my send my child to this university, how important, how's the balance? I mean, as Brother Muhammad said, you know, they pay head football coaches a lot more than they pay tenured professors. And as I said, universities, the presidents of universities, because these programs make so much money. So if your child is going to a university, just make sure it's a good fit for what your child needs. Maybe your child wants to go to a place where they enjoy sports and that's, they'll be a part of it, but they'll get to enjoy it as a part of the entertainment. But at what cost? As long as they aren't having to, I don't want to say suffer, but not get all the resources they need, because everything goes to athletics. You guys know sports is my thing. It's what I do. But it's not everything. It's just a really big part of society. It is. But it needs to be, there are some instances where it needs to be revisited in terms of its place. And so, you know, everything's about business. It all comes down to money. It all comes down to money. You know, when I started this conversation today talking about ESPN deciding not to show the anthem during Monday Night Football, and the fact that, of course, the president, who needs at the very least a distraction, and the NFL and the anthem issue has always been a good one for him. It gets his base fired up, and they can become focused on things that, quite frankly, are not nearly as important as other things. But ESPN is not going to show the anthem. I believe Fox has said they will show the anthem during holidays. But what do you think about this anthem issue? Where are you on it? Do you think that we need to be moving past it? And when I say that, moving past it, what response would you like to see from the public, from the players, from the NFL? I'd love to know your thoughts on where we are with the anthem. I'm going to pull up the, because when I talk about things, I like to make sure I'm not misquoting people. And so I want to pull up the latest on this story. I mentioned that Donald Trump has has started a petition to push ESPN to show the national anthem on Monday Night Football. So now we have the president deciding what should happen during broadcast. It's really, really kind of ridiculous. And he calls them spineless. So I wanted to bring up the policy because I want to make sure I have what other people. ESPN President Jimmy Pitaro spoke at the NFL at the network's media day earlier this week, and he said, "We generally have not broadcast at the anthem, and I don't think that will change this year. It is not our job to cover politics purely, but we'll cover the intersection of sports and politics." So this is what the president of ESPN has said, right? So let's go back to it. He says, "We generally have not broadcasted the anthem, and I don't think that will change this year." So it's because it came up, and it's not so much that they are doing something drastically different, okay? ESPN's policy to avoid performances of the Star Spangled Banner during Monday Night Football began last year. But the network made exceptions for major news events, according to Axios. ESPN aired the anthem when it coincided with a moment of silence for a hurricane and a moment of silence for the Las Vegas shooting. It was also broadcast before the Dallas-Arizona game in week three. But if you'll remember, that was after Donald Trump, you know, referred to players as, you know, SOBs. So, you know, it's not that the network is doing something so drastically different, but because they talked about it, and what they were asked about it, it has now become an issue. And in many years past, it was not, networks didn't broadcast the national anthem. So it's not nearly the issue that it's being made out to be. CBS, Fox, and NBC, let's see the latest on that. A CBS spokesperson this week says it does not plan to televise the playing of the Star Spangled Banner as a part of its weekly NFL broadcast, which is the same approach it has taken in recent years. So that's from CBS Sports. A person familiar with Fox Sports approach said the network plans to show the anthem only during what it considers to be special broadcasts, like Veterans Day and Thanksgiving and during the playoffs. So, and the person, of course, requested anonymity because of the sensitivity of this issue. And an NBC spokesperson told USA Today that the plans for its 19 NFL broadcasts are still undetermined. On occasion, we've covered the national anthem, but our plans aren't finalized yet as we have an earlier kickoff time in 2018. Okay. Anyway. So those are just some interesting thoughts. So here's David Fuller. Dr. Fuller says, I reserve my responses at this level, meaning they fall on deaf ears. We must address these individuals and their positions at the legislative level through policy development and voting. Betsy DeVos is not qualified to lead a doggy day camp. She gets no response or energy for me, blank stare. Our educational landscape is so unbalanced and our black and brown schools serving large at-risk populations are in trouble. No sugarcoating this fact anymore. It's clearly playing out around us everywhere. That is Dr. David Fuller. Thank you on that. I appreciate that. And so while I talk about sports, and we'll talk about what happens as we get closer to the season in terms of who's going to be on the final roster and whether Deshaun Watson is healthy and, you know, what the heck is going on with Dez Bryant and all those sorts of things. There are sometimes things that are more important that we need to talk about as it relates to sports and everything else. And so as we approach a very important election in November the 6th, I am going to encourage you every chance I get to register to vote. You must get registered to vote. If you are registered, then go out and make sure that, you know, if you can make sure that 10 other people get registered, right? Just 10 people. Let that be your goal. Get 10 people registered. And then make sure that you know the issues. Be informed. Make sure that you're voting for people and issues that matter to you and your family and your community. You know, I'm not going to tell you what that should be. But I am going to encourage you to tell you got to vote. You have to register. I don't care what state you live in. I don't care whether it's a red or blue state or purple state. Your vote matters. And as David Fuller said, nothing can happen. It needs to start at the legislative level, right? Brother Muhammad says, C-R-E-A-M, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money, dollar bills, y'all. Their motivation is clear. So, you know what that means? We need to, you know, I'm talking about voting. I'm talking about being registered. That's really important. Brother Muhammad, Dr. Muhammad, talks about money. The motivation is clear. What are we doing in our communities? Can you build something? Can you make something? Do you do something with your hands? Do you have a skill? Do you have a business? Are you supporting businesses in your community? Are you making sure that money stays in the community where you live and that you support so that it can support you, your family? I mean, it's so many things we can do, right? So you're absolutely right. It is about cash and it is about the dollar. And Kim says, vote, right? If you know somebody and they start telling you my vote doesn't matter, especially I live in the state of Texas, okay? It is a conservative state. It's been a red state for quite some time. And I have so many people say, it doesn't matter here because if I don't vote Republican, it doesn't matter because my vote won't count. Stop that. Stop it. That is not the truth. It absolutely does matter. You cannot just concede that it doesn't matter. And here's the other thing. Even if your candidate, if you choose to vote for the non-red candidate, you vote for a Democrat, and your candidate doesn't win, the more people who show up and vote with a different point of view makes a difference. They pay attention to the zip codes where people vote, even if you're not voting for them. They pay attention to who's showing up because they consider you to be engaged and they're more apt to deal with you and your issues. I'm not just making it up. This is research and proven to be the case. So go out and register to vote. Know the issues, know the candidates. If you're already registered, get somebody else registered. When you go get registered, take somebody with you. There's so many opportunities, but you have to get registered to vote. If we don't, as David Fuller said, have people in position to change policy and issues that affect and matter to us, then nothing else really matters. Like you calling up to shows and complaining and even marching around protesting. If you're not voting, what is the protest going to do? Right? We have to have all these things happening. Your vote matters. And I'm going to tell you that every week, whether I'm talking about the Astros, making a run for the playoffs, having a narrow lead in the American League West, whether I'm telling you about, the Rockets signing Carmelo Anthony and whether or not he's going to be a good fit for this team, I am going to still say you must vote. So it is so good to be back with you guys. And I had like 3 guests lined up today that fell through. But you know what? Things always happen as they should. I appreciate your responses. You paying attention. I ask that you, and I haven't said this once today, please share the video, right? Share this video. I'm going to put that on the screen. And even if you're watching the replay later, I ask that you please share the video. Why can't I seem to type? There we go. That you share the video with your community, right? Because as we're building Chalk Talk and we're building this community, the way that we do that is by spreading it, and we grow it by sharing it with other people. So I've talked to you in the past about a show I'm working to launch on the Cube this fall. We're still working on it. We're working on the sponsorship as soon as we get it sold. So let me tell you this. If you know people who would be interested in being a part of a broadcast show, a TV project, it's called Sports Bites with Kim, inbox me or you can email me, kim@kimydavis. You can always find me online, but my email is kim@kimydavis. And you can, if you have somebody that you think I should contact about supporting a project, let me know, because we really want to get this show launched this fall. It's important that we have, different voices, different stories, and different outlets. And so being a part of that is exciting to me, but I can't do it without the support of you and your circle of influence. So I thank you in advance for helping continue to move Chalk Talk forward and also Sports Bites with Kim. So remember, the things for you to do this week: go out and get registered to vote. If you are registered, that's awesome. Good for you. Get somebody else registered. And then it is important to become informed. Be informed about who you should vote for, about the issues, what's happening, so you don't have to worry about being misled and whether somebody's giving you the right information. Learn it for yourself. If you're in Houston, if you're in the Houston area, be sure to check out the Isaiah show, Isaiah Carey Uncensored tonight. I'll be on there. We'll talk about, we're going to talk about this anthem issue again, and perhaps concussions. I believe that's something else he wants to talk about. But, I support people who support me, so I encourage you to also support Isaiah Carey. And if there's something that you have going on that we should know about, let me know, because we do want to support what you're doing. I'm going to have my friend Kim join me on the show real soon. She has a project going on that I think is incredible, and I am going to make sure that as many people know about it as possible. Kim Edwards Williams is an eyebrow artist. She does threading. But even more importantly than her doing threading, she has a program where she's teaching the business to people. It's a great opportunity. It's low overhead. She has a program where she teaches you how to do the business, how to actually the craft of threading eyebrows, but also how to run a business of having an eyebrow business. So you don't have to have a degree. It doesn't matter if you have a record. In fact, she is looking for people who have felonies or records or can't get employed as a way that you can be employed yourself. So I'm going to have Kim join me. We want to make sure that while we talk about sports, it's always about community, right? And it's about building and how do we build and how do we encourage. And as we have information, if I don't share the information I have that can be helpful to you or someone you know, then I am doing a disservice of how I manage the platform I have. So with that said, we are out of time for today. Make sure that you share the video with somebody. Let me know what you have going on so that I can support it and encourage people and let other people know what you do. And make sure that you join me back here next Thursday at 11 a.m. Until then, make sure you do something kind for yourself and do something kind for somebody else. Thank you so much for joining me. And look at that, eyebrowenergy.com. That's where you can get more information about Kim Edwards Williams and her program. It is it's amazing. It's a great opportunity. And we're looking for ways to make sure that people who otherwise can't get employment can have a business and can be, you know, positive, can, you know, support themselves and their families, and they can make a really good living. And so we encourage you to check out eyebrowenergy.com. All right, guys, follow me on Twitter at Kim Y Davis. Make sure that you have, if you don't follow me on Kim Y Davis, my Kim Y Davis page, please follow me there so that you will get updates about the show. I'll see you next Thursday. I'll have updates over the next few days about what's happening in life and in sports. And until then, I'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.